So we're talking obviously about the weather, because why wouldn't we? It's incredibly hot. We like talking about the weather in London, and the weather is unlike weather that we've ever known. It's the hottest weather ever. We've been talking about how to take care of ourselves during this extremely hot weather. And joining me on the programme is a registered nurse and first aid trainer, Emma Hammett, who's recently been awarded a national award for most inspirational trainer. Emma, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How fantastic. So who do you train?
We train all sorts of people. We train health professionals, teenagers, child carers, anyone who needs to learn first aid. We also run first aid for pets too. So we know how to help people to look after their pets in this hot weather too, which I think you've been talking about with somebody else.
Yes, I wonder if we should start with pets actually, because we haven't mentioned pets all day. And what somebody said to me yesterday was that, you know, there might be people who are new to owning a dog, for example, who think, oh, it's a hot day, right, let's take the dog for a walk, and don't realise, for example, that the very hot pavements might actually burn the pads of a dog's feet, and that's something that hasn't had all that much publicity. So what are the sorts of things that you have been saying about looking after pets? Let's do pets first, then we'll do babies, then we'll do pregnant women, and we'll move on through.
Okie doke, that sounds great.
Great.
So in terms of pets, imagine going out in a hot fur coat and bare feet. And bear in mind as well that pets will lose heat through their paws and by panting. They don't sweat as we do. And so they've got a smaller surface area to lose the heat through. So they are very prone to heat exhaustion. They can get sunburn, and you can put sun cream. There is pet sun cream that you can get. So ask your vet next time you're in. But the best thing to do is to keep them out of direct sunlight, to walk them before 8 o'clock in the morning, whilst the pavements are still cool, and much later in the evening. And if you are driving, just be aware that you might be in the nice air-conditioned environment, but if your dog is in the boot and there is direct sunlight coming into them and you're doing a long journey, that actually could be hot enough to kill them.
Gosh, wow. Wow. I mean, that's an enormous thing to take into consideration, mm-hmm. isn't it?
I mean, the same with your children in the back seat. You know, if the hot, I mean, obviously, it's you're unlikely to kill your child that way, but with the hot air, the hot sun coming straight through onto the glass, so children should have a UV resistant car seat cover if they're in the car, and one that can allow the air to circulate, so that they're not sitting there in the direct sun, or one of those blinds on the window will help as well.
So anything else that you feel ought to be borne in mind about pets of any different kind, please do tell me, and then we'll move
okay.
on. Anything else you're pointing out?
The short-nosed pets, so your pugs and your bulldogs, we all know they struggle more in the heat. They will really be struggling in this heat. So be extremely gentle with them. They're not made for hot weather. They're not made for long walks. And make sure that you've always got water, fresh water. If you're using letting them stop at sort of communal bowls, just make sure they're clean and regularly topped up. Because if you have a lot of dogs drinking from older water, you know, it can spread kennel cough and things like that. So just be aware that it's from a reputable shop that is topping up their water and really, really caring for your pet's welfare as well, which most of them are.
All right, let's move to babies, because you see these little babies wilting in the heat and you do think,
yes.
Gosh, poor little things. And you also think, gosh, poor parents struggling to keep them cool in a temperature which is very hot, especially if you live in a hot house or a flat without, you know, much access to outside space. And then when you do go outside, it's even hotter. You know, it's difficult to know what to do, isn't it?
It's very difficult. Babies will dehydrate very quickly, and they should not. So a baby under 6 months should not be exposed to direct sunlight. So please don't be slathering them in baby sun cream, because that's for babies over 6 months. Babies
right.
under 6 months should not be in direct sunlight. They should be under a UV resistant cover. and they should ideally not be outside in the main heat of the day.
Yes, and so keep the baby out of the sun, and other ways of keeping the baby cool. I mean, you know, sponging a baby with tepid water, that kind of a thing, and how to keep them cool at night. Should you, even though this is a cost of living crisis, you know, invest in a fan and put it in near a baby's crib? Is that the kind of thing one should do, or what?
It's very difficult, and my sympathies go out to a lot of people in very hot houses, because our houses just aren't made for this sort of thing. So certainly if you have got an air conditioning unit that you could plug in before they go to bed and cool the room right down, that will help. It's very, very difficult. The things that we advise for other people, such as putting the nightwear in the freezer and things, I wouldn't be doing for a baby.
No.
So as little clothing as possible. They don't like direct draft. So if you've got a fan, don't have it directly on them. Have it wafting the air.
Uh-huh.
I think the key is to keep their room as cool as possible before they're going into it. Mm-hmm. So now, before the sun has completely got up, go to any windows, shut them, close the curtains, and put a blanket or a duvet over the top to actually insulate, to stop that heat getting in.
Uh-huh.
And don't open it again until the evening, and then open it and let all the air come in, the cooler air. But keep that hot air out, and keep your whole house as cool as you can.
Right. Now, what about pregnant women? I mean, they really do have a rough ride of it anyway in the final stages of pregnancy. But in this kind of weather, you know, when ankles have a tendency to swell up, and when, you know, everything's terribly uncomfortable, any advice for them?
Well, for them, you can do a little bit more. So they can have regular cool showers. They should sit down with their feet up as much as possible. If their ankles are swelling and they haven't had swollen ankles before, and they're in their third trimester, they should go and get checked out, because it can be an indicator of preeclampsia.
Right.
So don't always just blame blame the hot weather. If your ankles are swelling, put them up, and if it's not going down a bit and you are concerned, go and get your blood pressure checked at your GP surgery to be sure. And if you're in your second trimester, your blood pressure can actually be lower, and the heat will actually dilate your blood vessels, and so it can make you more prone to fainting. So be very gentle with yourself. Take things much slower. Don't go dashing around, particularly if this is number two or three that you're pregnant with. Just pace yourself, drink lots, and think about breastfeeding women as well.
Yes.
Don't forget, you are then feeding and hydrating two of you, so you do need to have even more fluids.
And now what about everybody else? I don't know whether you think we should specially talk about the elderly, or particularly talk about people who have conditions that are made worse by very hot weather, or on medication that reacts sensitively, for example, with lots of sunlight, that kind of a thing. Should we have a special category for people like that?
We can have a special category for people like that.
Yeah.
But generally, the same advice goes for everyone. In terms of medication, some medication can affect how you sweat and how you cope with the heat, and how quickly your blood vessels dilate or constrict. So they can have quite marked effects as to your coping mechanisms in this extreme weather. So have a look on your side effect sheet as to things that it can do. There's a huge number of drugs that can affect how you sweat and things. There's a whole load of them who come under the sort of grouping anticholinergic, which are sometimes people who are asthmatic, people who have bladder problems. It can link in with people on antidepressants, people on opioids for pain, Parkinson's treatment, epilepsy treatment. They can all affect how easy it is for you to cope and your body's natural mechanisms. Because if we get too hot, we will sweat, which will cool us down. So if we can't sweat as easily, or sometimes for some people they're sweating, the drugs make them sweat more, which can also be a problem. cool showers can be really helpful. So cool or tepid showers, and don't dry off completely. Let it evaporate. It's like having an extra sweating, but a cleaner sweating, to cool you down. So that can be very helpful.
And finally, everybody else.
I think sort of a damp towel in the freezer can be helpful. That could be good for all of us, including the dog.
Yeah.
You might need a separate towel or not. So, yeah, be careful with ice packs. So you can get ice burns from ice packs directly on your skin.
Uh-huh.
So if you are wanting to, you know, sit with an ice pack, which is fine, it will cool you, then wrap it in a tea towel. If you go to bed with your frozen peas, wrap them in a tea towel, but you will get a damp patch.
Right. And lots of people saying yesterday, when I say lots, I mean some people who spoke to me yesterday, saying they don't normally feel faint. It's not one of their things. They don't faint, but somehow they found themselves feeling what they imagine is faint. Probably for the first time ever, somebody said to me she had a 20-minute cycle ride home. She felt really faint and funny. I had this thing where, most unusual for me, because I love it when I'm lucky enough to go on a limo bike, you know, when somebody else drives the motorbike and you get to go on the back and get sort of conveyed through the streets of London. It's really good fun and I really, really love it. But yesterday it was just boiling hot. The heat from the engine of the bike seemed to kind of go right up the legs in a really, it felt as if you're being boiled alive. And the air that normally is cool as you ride through it was hot and hot and hot. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly thought, God, am I going to faint? And I've never fainted. It's not one of my things. But I thought, gosh, I feel all funny. I feel all shaky. I feel really weird. I'm, you know, and various people said similar things, that they suddenly thought they might faint and they don't usually, and they're not familiar with it. And they weren't even sure whether that was what they were feeling. Are people more likely to faint in the heat?
Yes. And It's early signs of heat exhaustion. People sometimes use the terms heat exhaustion and heat stroke interchangeably. They are different. Heat exhaustion is that not feeling right sort of feeling. You're hot, you're sweaty, you might have tummy ache, you might feel a bit sick, you might actually vomit, you might have a headache, you might feel faint, you might actually faint, and potentially you could also have a seizure.
Gosh.
And it's signs that your body is just not coping. The heat will dilate your blood vessels.
Mm.
You might have a nosebleed as well. Lots of people are having more nosebleeds because you've got tiny little blood vessels in your nose.
Gosh.
And when those dilate, they can just burst. So it's that sort of thing happening. So if you get that sort of feeling, take yourself out of the heat as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Get into the shade, somewhere cool. If you can have a cool shower or a tepid shower, that's great. Obviously, if you're feeling faint, get someone to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Lie down, raise your legs, and have regular sips of a cool drink.
Mm-hmm.
So cool water. Milk is really good at retaining your fluids. Isotonic fluid drinks will also restore some of the other bits that you will have been losing as you sweated.
Mm-hmm.
And you should feel better in about 30 minutes. If you don't and you're worried, then do get checked out. But generally, heat exhaustion should resolve in about 30 minutes or so.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I think it's very clear, hearing from you today, why you've won the award as most inspirational trainer. You've certainly inspired me. You've been tremendous. Thank you very much indeed. That's Emma Hammett, who's recently been awarded the National Award for Most Inspirational Trainer. She trained and worked at St Thomas's Hospital and since worked in all sorts of different capacities in hospitals all over the country. So we're very lucky to have had her on the show, and thank her very much indeed for that. It's time now for the travel, followed by some music, and then I'll be straight back.
Thanks, Vanessa. We'll start with the tubes. TfL advising you only